must say I am very, very happy to be with you once again. This is my favorite church next to Hackensack. Come on now. Doesn't mean anything to you? I'm happy to always come to Wayne. But I must say that my favorite praise team is in Wayne. Winston, you're doing a great job with the praise team. I was transported as they were singing. And so we want to give God the praise and the glory. Amen. Edwin, great job. Let us keep on singing for Jesus. And the children's story, so you're in charge of the after school at Waldwick. Okay. That's where Jonathan ends up sometimes. Well, great job. And thank you for the children's story. It's always good to use these illustrations that Jesus left us to teach us these invaluable lessons. And so we want to thank you for that. And for my sister who just sang that song, Christine, thank you very much. Sister Jules, thank you for inviting me to come and share. I hear that you've been having some revelation seminars, some prophecies. Amen. You've been blessed by them. And therefore, we have some visiting friends with us this Sabbath. And I want to say welcome to all our visitors who are responding to the call of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I'm delighted to have in the midst my mother, my brother, and my nephew. They are here with us this morning. Usually my wife and our boys come together, but I'm going to ask my mom to wave my brother. They are in town for a funeral. They live in Virginia. We have a funeral tomorrow in the Bronx, and one of our members from our old church passed away at 96, I believe she was. So she lived a long, good life. So they came up, and they came straight to be with us here in Wayne. And so very happy to have them in the congregation. All right, let's get down to God's word as we prepare our hearts for what God has to say to us this Sabbath morning. Let us bow our heads together as we pray. Loving Lord, we're grateful that we can come together to worship. We ask now that your Holy Spirit will be poured upon all of us, and that as we open your words, the blessings of heaven will be bestowed upon each and every listener. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on your behalf. Now I ask that you speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is The Tale of Two Builders. The Tale of Two Builders. The scripture lesson was read. Matthew chapter 7, we read from verse 24 to 29, where Jesus shared the parable of the two builders. One builder built his house upon sand, and the other builder built his house upon the rock. The Tale of Two Builders. In the moral and spiritual, as well as in the material world, there is good and bad, sound and unsound, safe and unsafe building. We are all builders. We are all planning, preparing, laying our foundation, erecting our walls, and putting on our top stone. The fabric of enjoyment or of success is one to consider. That of enjoyment, of the gratification of indulgence, is indeed hardly worthy of the name of building. Yet are there those who spend upon it a very large amount of thought and labor. To pursue this as the object of life is unworthy of our manhood. It is to dishonor ourselves. It is to degrade our lives. It is to expend our strength on putting up a miserable hovel when we might use it in the erection of a noble mansion. It is also to be laboriously constructing a heap of sand which the first strong wave will wash away. Worthier than this, though quite unsatisfying and unsatisfactory, is the pursuit of temporal prosperity. The building up of a fortune or of a name or some power or some authority. Not that having fortune is wrong in of itself. Not that such aims and efforts are wrong. On the other hand, having some money is necessary. Do you agree with me? In fact, laying up for our future is honorable, even creditable, but they are not sufficient. They are wholly inadequate as the aspiration of a human soul and the achievement of a human life. They do not fill the heart of man. They do not give it rest. They leave a large void unfulfilled. There are many who have millions of dollars, and all their lives they have worked to acquire and amass this money, and yet there is still a void in their lives. We've seen so many who've taken their own lives because having all the wealth of the world does not satisfy the human longing, and therefore there is still that void. Yet, amassing these is honorable and at times good, but it does not fill the void. It does not give rest. There is still a craving and a yearning that is unsatisfied. Moreover, they do not stand the test of time. They are buildings that will soon be washed away. The tide of time will soon advance and sweep away the strongest of such edifices as those. So I want to say to you, brothers and sisters here in Wayne, do not build for 20 or 40 or 60 years. My encouragement to you is to build for eternity. The Bible declares, "The world passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever." Amen? And I want you to allow your minds to drift off and picture the scenes as Jesus is seeing it. Oftentimes, the scenes around him somehow suggest the illustration that he uses to teach a certain lesson. As in hill countries, the streams of Galilee rush down the torrent beds during the winter and early spring and sweep all before them and leaves in its wake the deposits on the sands. When summer comes, this water fails. So during the winter time and the springtime, the waters rush down from the mountains and from the hills, and it overruns the plains, and the deposits and sands are there on the plains. But when summer comes and the waters have retreated, here comes a certain builder. A stranger coming to build might be attracted by the ready, prepared level surface of the sand. It would be easier to build there instead of working upon the hard, rugged rock. But the people who live in the area, who knows that when winter comes and when springtime comes and the rains come, that to build on that plain would be dangerous. And so the stranger becomes a byword. He becomes the brunt of the jokes and mockery, because if he had any sense, they say, he would not build there. If he only knew what happened during the winter time, that construction that he's about to put up will not stand the test. And so they laugh at him, they mock him, they jeer him, because he does not know what is to come. You see, during the summertime, it seems that it is a place to build. They know not on such a house that when the winter comes, devastation will come in its wake. So Jesus said, one man built his house on the sand. One man built his house where? Come on, now I want you to talk to me. One man built his house where? Now, this is something I do when I come to Wayne, where I divide the church. And some of you end up sitting on the wrong side when you come to church because you know the preacher is going to make one either goats or one sheep. Or one is going to be on the Lord's side or the other is going to be on the devil. And you wish you had sat on the other side when the preacher makes the choice. Well, today I'm going to make one side the sand builders and the other side the rock builders. Now, which side want to be the rock builder? Let me see how many hands are. Who has? All right. I think this side has more hands up, so we're going to make this side. Oh, you have two hands up. All right, all right, all right, all right. All right, so this side is going to be the rock builders. Come on, now say amen.
Amen.
Now, if they say a heartier amen than you, I'm switching sides. Now, this side is going to be the rock builders.
Amen.
I'm changing my mind. So the rock builders are on this side and the sand builders are on that side. You see, when you're in the house of the Lord, you shouldn't be afraid to say amen. Come on, somebody. Lord, have mercy. Now, let's talk about sand builders first of all. But with all seriousness, I'd like, as we speak about these two type of builders, that we inspect ourselves. Hello? That we turn the searchlight on the inside and see which type of builders we are. Notice what I said before. We are all builders. We are all what? We're all planning. We're all erecting. We're all laying foundations. And therefore, we are either sand builders or we are rock builders. And I'll go through a litany of how these builders built, and then we'll determine which side I'm on or which type of builder I am. So one man, the Bible says, Jesus said, built his house with little preparation. Listen to me carefully. He found a spot for his house and began to build. Sand is unstable. Sand is what? Sand is ever changing. Sand is ever moving. Sand offers no stability. Sand is not a good place to build a house. Sand can never provide a firm foundation. They build the house of their lives on self-will. That is, sand builders, those on this side, hello, they build their houses on self-will, self-fulfillment, self-sufficiency, self-satisfaction, and self-righteousness. That house is mere profession of religion. Outward worship, outward forms, and outward conformity, there is no change of life, no reality, no obedience, no self-denial. They are just words. Paul said, sand builders have a form of godliness. Am I talking to the church? Sand builders, they are only words, no action. And the word is that sand builders, they cannot stand. Those houses, well, you see, for a time, the house seems fair and stately. It has the look, perhaps, of a strong and stable dwelling. But it has no foundations, and it cannot give shelter to the trembling soul in sorrow and distress. In sickness and in fear of death, it fell, and Jesus said, great was its fall. I want you to listen to this. People build on the sands because it is easy. Because it's what? Because it's what? People build on the sand because it's easy. It requires little effort. Just a little change here and a little change there, and they can fool themselves that everything is right with God. Now let me break that down a little bit for us to understand. You see, I'm told by the pen of inspiration that Our relationship with God, our Christianity, our conversion, it is not the dressing up of the old man. It is not changing one thing here or one thing there, but it is the total transformation of the old man. It is a life change, and that's why Paul says, when you meet Jesus, you become a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, some things. I want to make sure the church is hearing me. Paul says what? Did he say some things? What did he say? All things become what? And so for sand builders, they believe because I became a vegetarian, that's good enough. Or because I gave up doing this or that, that's good enough. But you're going to see that, brothers and sisters, with Christ, it is the transformation of the old man into the new. It is when one was going this direction, going down the road that he leads to hell, then when they meet Jesus, they turn around and they start going in a completely different direction. Are you hearing me out there? So sand builders believe. But as long as I stop talking on the phone about people, that's good enough. But Jesus is saying it is a complete transformation. We have to do more than just dressing up the old man. We have to become new creatures in Jesus Christ. A life built on the sand requires no commitment. I don't know if you have that problem in Wayne Church where you have people who are not committed. Can't depend on them to carry out their task or their duties. They say they're coming and they never show up. They say they'll carry out the duties, but they do not. And so we're told that sand builders, they require no commitment, no sacrifice, no faith. People who build on the sand believe they can pray a prayer, sign a card, join a church, and all will be well. Well, the fact that I'm going to church and I'm going to the Adventist church, then everything is all right. Come on, Jenny. As long as I'm here on Sabbath and I'm not out there, it is okay. Is that so? Is that real with God? Is that enough to get us through the pearly gates? And I'm being told, brothers and sisters, that many of us have our names on the church books, but our names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. So church going is not enough. Should we go to church? Yes. Because Paul says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But going to church is not enough. We need to meet Jesus when we are in church. We need to have a relationship with Jesus so that the transformation from the inside takes place and then we can see it on the outside. But sand builders, they believe by just being attached to the church is enough. People who build on the sand can turn in and out and turn on and off. They are like a flipping switch. On and off. On and off. Now sometimes we find we feel like not going to church. We feel like not doing. Or we feel like giving up. That's the sand builder mentality. In spite of what I'm going through, I've made up my mind to go all the way with Jesus. You see, sand builders, when somebody says something to them or about them, they get upset and they walk away. Come on, somebody. But those, and I'll get to them quickly, those who build on the rock, no matter what is said, they're still going to stand up for Jesus. Or maybe I'm talking to the wrong church. Sand builders, talking about the sand builders. Here's what I find also about sand builders. They can be in today and out tomorrow and again the next day. Sand builders ultimately have their faith in themselves. People who build their lives on religion, self-righteousness, and false hope will not serve God. They will not sacrifice. They only walk the easy path. Sand builders like instant results, instant rewards, instant satisfaction, and instant pleasure. They are shallow people who love the heights but hate the depths. Who are hot and then cold. Who are in and then out. These are sand builders. They're up and then they're down. These are the characteristics of sand builders. Another thing Jesus was trying to impart to those who are listening, You see, sand builders, when Jesus demand complete surrender to his will, sand builders find excuses. And Jesus encountered excuses during his ministry. He said to one fellow, "Follow me." And the fellow said to him, "Well, Jesus, before I follow you, I have to go bury my loved one." And Jesus said, "Let the dead do what? You're not worthy of following me." You see, sand builders create excuses as to why they cannot be committed. Another fellow, Jesus said to him, "Listen, come and follow me." He said, "I have to go and say goodbye to my family before I follow you." Jesus said to him, "No man putting his hand to the plow and turning back is worthy of following me." That's the nature of sand builders. So as I'm saying these words, I'd like you to examine your heart and determine, am I a sand builder? Do I fit the description of sand builders? Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus said, "One man built his house on the rock." So who are the sand builders? Which side did I say was a sand builder? That side. I knew you would remember. So the sand builders. Let me now talk about the rock builders. Edwin, you sat on the right side of church this morning. Let's look at what Jesus has to say about rock builders. Here's what we find. While one man built his house on the sand, the other dug deep. The other did what? Dug deep. He dug until he reached the bedrock and built his house on the rock. The rock does not move. Hello, somebody. Now, the difference with the rock and the sand is that the sand moves. The sand is unstable. The sand is unsafe. But the rock does not move. The rock provides security. The rock provides stability. The rock is unchanging. Rock offers a good foundation for a house. Now, Jesus is using the illustration because we're builders. Warren is a construction guy. He knows about foundation. And he knows that you can't build a solid foundation on shifting sand. You need to make sure the foundation is secure. And so here's Jesus comparing two types of Christians. Watch this now. He's talking to church folks. And he's saying there are some church folks who build on sand. And then there are those who build on the rock. And the difference between the two is not the building, but the foundation. I want you to see this now. In the parable, Jesus did not describe the structure that was erected. In fact, to the onlookers, both houses look beautiful. They probably used the same material to build the structure. They had the same type of roof, the same size, the same shape, all of these things. And so to the onlooker, both buildings look beautiful for living. But Jesus went down to the foundation. You see the issues, brothers and sisters. You and I on the surface may look good. Can I talk to the church? You and I may be dressed up nice in our suits and our dresses, and we come to church and everything seemed to be all right. But beneath the surface, hello somebody. Jesus is saying, I want to check beneath the surface, because remember the story with Samuel when Samuel went down to anoint the king of Israel. And Samuel got to Jesse's house and he saw the boys and they looked so stalwart. They looked so healthy. They looked so stately. Samuel said, this must be the next king. Jesus whispered in Samuel's ear and said, Samuel, here's the issue. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Jesus is saying to the church, I'm not looking on the surface. I'm not looking at what is up here, but I'm looking at what is beneath. Because the thing is, if you're not built on the rock, Christ Jesus, your house will fall. So as we examine ourselves, let us see where we are building. It is not so much the edifice that goes up, but it's where the edifice is being constructed. And so we are told, the rock builder, what God tells them to do, they will do it. You know, you got some people who argue with God's word. And God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. We have our own ideas. Those are sand builders. What God warns them not to do, they don't do it. They pay any price. I'm talking about these on this side now. They pay any price. They walk any path. They do anything the Lord tells them to do, even if they don't like it. So when Jesus says, love your enemies, God, I can't stand that person. The best thing about my co-worker is when they don't show up to work. God, please, I don't want them to die, but if they can stay home, I would have a better day. Then I'll go read in the Bible where Jesus says, I gotta love that person. And then he went further to say, even when they speak evil of you, you gotta love them. You gotta speak good of them. You gotta even go as far as to bless them. And so the human heart doesn't want to do those things. But because God says it, I have to do it. Come on, somebody, and say amen out there. Those are the rock builders. Not only do we find them following everything that God says, those who build their houses on the rock, they realize that they must give God their best. And oftentimes we give God what's left. Because we waste our lives in our youthful years, then we come to Jesus in our twilight years when we have the what left. We want to give God the best of our years. Amen? And so young people, I want to encourage you to give God the best of your years. They, the rock builders on this side, Judy, they make any sacrifice. They do any work for God. They do anything to honor the Lord. They love him. They honor him. They obey him. The rock builders' obedience to God's word proves they love the Lord. Rock builders hear the word of God and the gospel, and they make the word of God their foundation. It is imperative that we dig deep. Build on the rock. Erect that which the most violent storm cannot shake to its fall. What is that character which answers to this counsel? Let me have you hear this, brothers and sisters. Not that which is founded on sentiment or on occasional emotion. Now let me break this down to you so you can understand what this means. How to build on rock is not based on sentiments. It is not based on emotions. Well, I feel good or I'm happy, and that's when I'm going to build. But even when things are bad, we must be on the rock. Even when we lose the job, we stay on the rock. When a loved one dies, we stay on the rock and we dig deeper in Jesus. That's not the time to give up on Jesus, because I'm brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. The Bible is true when Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you're going through your difficult times, Jesus is still there with you. Even when we get sick, like I heard so many being prayed for by Winston, even when we get sick, we must remember that God is still in control. Rock builders, when the times get rough, their anchor goes further in God's word. They hold on because they claim the promise of Jesus that though they may lose their lives in this world, there is coming a resurrection. When Job was facing death, Job said, though worms eat this body, though I'm facing death and the enmity of death is swallowing up life, Job said, yet I know that one day I'm going to see Jesus. I don't know if you have that experience where you believe that your loved one who died, that one day you'll see your loved one again, because there is coming a resurrection. Because one of these days, Jesus will burst the clouds of heaven and call the dead from the grave. And so in spite of what is going on, rock builders say, I shall not be moved. Though he slay me. Come on now, talk to me. Though he slay me, what's going to happen? Yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, I'm not going to give up on Jesus. Do I have a witness in the house this morning? That you are saying, God, I'm determined. I've got my mind made up that I won't turn back, because I'm going to see my Jesus someday. Do I have a witness in the house this morning? Who you're determined that comes what may, I will never give up on Jesus. By the grace of God, I'm determined to go all the way with Jesus. Do I have a witness? And I often say, and my mother is here, she grew us up in the church, and praise God for her. But at any time, should my mother decide not to follow Jesus, I'm going to still follow Jesus. And if my brother decides to turn back, and my wife decides to turn back, and my children give up on Jesus, I'm making a promise to God and to you this morning that I'm determined to follow Jesus all the way. See, my religion is not based on those around me. My religion is based on having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I want to say to you here at Wayne, know Jesus for yourself. Do not depend on your parents, young people. Do not depend on your parents for their salvation. Their salvation cannot save you. You have to know Jesus for yourself. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Got to know Jesus for yourself. And so, let me hasten on. Rock builders, brothers and sisters, we must understand that it's not about emotions. It is not about sentiments. It is not about feelings, but we are convicted. We are what? It is a fixed determination. Oh, I love the story of those Hebrew boys when they were brought down to Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar did all that he could. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 that Daniel purposed in his heart. He had a fixed determination that comes what may, even though I was taken captive and God did not see fit to deliver us and to protect us, but we are here in a heathen country. I have made up my mind that I'm not going to follow the Babylonians. Oh, I wish that in these last days we'll have Seventh-day Adventists who will say, I'm not going to follow the other churches. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to follow those in the world. I'm not going to bring the world in the church, but I'm going to bring the church to the world. Daniel said, my mind is made up. I'm not going to turn back. And so rock builders have their minds made up. They're not going to turn back. Now, Paul encourages, he says, when you're building, as he spoke to the Corinthians, he spoke of wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, and silver, and precious stones. And he says that the fire tries every man's building as to what it's made of, and how it will withstand the test of time. So I want to say to you, let the Christian workman see to it that he too builds on the rock, that he effects that which will stand the waters and the fires when they are coming to try the building. Let him depend little on ceremonialism. Let's not depend on the fact that we are Seventh-day Adventists, because that will not guarantee us a place in God's kingdom. We need to have a relationship with Jesus. Amen? Let him strive to produce deep, sacred convictions. And to our visitors, let me appeal to you also. It is important for each and every one of us to build on Jesus. Jesus makes it clear that there is no other name on earth whereby we can be saved. It is only through Jesus we can be saved. And so we need Jesus to get into heaven. Hey, let me wrap it up by telling you this. Jesus said, after the both buildings went up, the rain came. Everything looks good. Both buildings are beautiful, ready to be inhabited. And as they took possession of their buildings, the Bible says the rains came and the floods came and the waters beat upon both houses, battered both houses. And when the waters came down from the hillside, it washed away the foundation and the sand moved. The pebbles moved. But when he washed against the house built upon the rock, there was the difference. The Bible makes it clear that the house built on sand, it fell. My brothers and sisters, the soul itself is a building. Let me drive that point home. The soul itself is a building. Let's move away from physical construction for a moment. The soul, Arlene, itself is a building. What is the preacher saying? The soul building, Andrew, is the main point that Jesus was going after. It is the chief building that we are rearing. Hmm? Whatever else we may be erecting, material, social, or political, the one thing we do with which others will pale in comparison is the soul. What, Jesus asked, shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So we can build houses, we can build mansions, but what about this building? How are we building? Because I've noticed, and I've gone to funerals, and I'll be going to one tomorrow, and I've never seen a you all. Y'all didn't hear me. I've never seen a moving company behind the hearse or in the funeral procession. Because when we die, we cannot take what we accumulated here with us. It stays behind us. But what we can take with us and what we need to take with us is a character that is built upon the Word of God. Everything we acquire stays behind. And sometimes we amass all these things and we leave it for our children. And when we are dead and gone, all they do is squander what we left. Sometimes we've got to give it to the church too, so the work of God can continue. Come on now, say amen, somebody. Amen. I'll say amen for you. Amen. What we find is this. You and I are building a house. It is a daily. It is a what? It is a hourly process. It proceeds with every thought. Now I want to break this down before I sit down so we understand what's happening here. We are all building a house, and it is a daily work. It is an hourly work. Every thought. Every what? Every thought, every action, every feeling that we cherish is a brick in the building. Lord, have mercy. So when I read this and I stopped to think and I asked the question, Lord, what building am I putting up? Because my thoughts run all over the place. I was in worship last night. I was falling asleep in worship. And I said, Lord, if I was watching a soccer game, I would not fall asleep. Come on now, the preacher's confessing. And so the thing we pride ourselves in, we find pleasure in it, but when it comes to God's word, we fall asleep. Church is too boring. Every thought, every action is a brick we're putting in the building. So what building are we putting up? What have we erected, Judy, for these 50 years? How does my house look? Is my house standing on solid ground? Because a storm is coming. Hello? Ellen White says, this storm is relentless in its fury. And you and I are in the pathway of the storm. In fact, she says, the magnitude of the storm no human pen can illustrate. You know, often the meteorologists tell us about the storm coming, and when it comes, we laugh at them and say they don't know what they're doing because this is not a storm. A nor'easter is coming through. But the pen of inspiration says, the storm that is coming, no human mind can imagine it. It will test every child of God to the utmost. So the question I'm asking this morning, what building are you building? Where is your foundation? Is it on sand or is it on God's word? Because when the storms blow, when the winds come, when the waters come to test us, right now we look like all Adventists. We're all Christians. You can't tell the difference. We're all singing, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. But when the test comes, Warren, and all the facade is washed away, where will we stand? I want you to ponder these things as we close. The good news is, even if we were sand builders, there's hope. Come on now. I thought you'd have gotten excited about the hope. You see, if all of your life you are building on sand, you can start anew. You can tear down the construction and start building on the rock Christ Jesus. And if you've been building on Jesus, but sometimes I've seen building that gets stagnant. They abandon the project. But if you want to start building again, there is still hope for you too. Amen, somebody. Because you and I, as long as there's a life, there's hope. And we can make the right decisions now to build on Jesus Christ. What gives me satisfaction also is that Jesus is the master builder. I want you to understand that he's trying to prepare this body to live in that place that he has gone to build. You see, in John chapter 14, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? And if it were not so, I would have done what? I'd have told you, I go to build a place for you." So while we're here, he expects us, Ephraim, to build. Because he's building on the other side. And for us to fit in that building, Peter says that ye are lively stones, built up in a house. If we are to fit in that building over there, we need to build properly over here. Oh, but I'm telling you this, saints, Jesus says, I'm preparing that place for you. And I'll come again, young lady, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there he may be also. Jesus is building. What sort of house is he building? He says, Elizabeth, he said, I'm going to build a house. And in that house are many mansions. And I've had struggles with that part of the verse because I don't know how mansions can fit in a house. But then I started studying the book of Revelation, which you've been studying. And I came across the understanding that Jesus has a house, his Father's house. But in the house are mansions. And how is that possible? Well, John the Revelator said, I saw the house in John Revelation 21 coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her children. And when John said, the angel said, measure one side of the house. It was 12,000 furlongs, one side. And John said, the angel said it was four square, Delma, four square. So that means one side is 12,000 long, the other side is 12,000, and then the height of it is 12,000. But now we don't use furlongs in our language, so I went to try to figure out how much is that in miles. And what I found is that one side of the house is 1,270 miles. And then the other side, because it's four square, is 1,270. And then 1,270. So then when I say, all right, let's see. All right, so the state of Rhode Island can fit in the house. Hello, somebody. Then I say, which other state could fit in the house? The state of Delaware could fit in the house along with Rhode Island. Then I say, wait a second, let's do the math again. And most of Connecticut plus Rhode Island plus Delaware can fit in my Father's house. So when he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, that means there's room enough for you, for me, and for you. There is no need for us to miss out on being in Jesus' house. So the encouragement is, build on the rock, Christ Jesus, so that when he comes, you will hear his words, well done, thou good and faithful servants. May this be our experience as we build on the rock, Christ Jesus, because all other ground is sinking sand. May God bless you. May God keep you. Amen.